But, you know, when we think about summer, we think about, we had some events, and we're about halfway through our summer events. We had a ladies' tea, huge success. Vacation Bible School last week, huge success. And just so many people involved in that. Let's give them a round of applause. Got a couple more events before the summer's out, a men's breakfast in August, student event in August, parents' night out for kids in August. So there's still lots more to do, but we just thank you so much for being involved in that. You know, this month we've been talking about God's goodness and what His goodness brings. And we've talked about mercy, we've talked about truth, and today we're going to talk about righteousness. God's goodness brings righteousness. And just like mercy and truth, righteousness is bestowed upon us, not for a singular purpose. It's multifold. Not only do we benefit from God's mercy and God's truth and God's righteousness, we benefit from it. We are to be a reservoir, living life, walking in what God gives us, rather than holding everything to us, but making a display of it. You know, in Matthew 6:33, we are actually encouraged to seek His righteousness. And the Amplified Version defines righteousness this way: the attitude and the character of God. That's what righteousness is. So righteousness is a gift to us. It's given to us. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to toil for it or any of that. It's free. In fact, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We have been made righteous because of Jesus. Now, Paul continues writing about this particular subject in Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, and then 21 and 22. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Verse 21 says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as is promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Verse 22, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Nothing could ever earn the righteousness of God. It's a gift. And in order for a gift to benefit, we must receive it. In order for a gift to be useful, we must use it. Paul instructs the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4:22 through 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen to it out of the Message version. Your old life is no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you paid careful attention to Him, being well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct. Listen to that. A life renewed from the inside and it's working itself into our conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Yes, His righteousness is a free gift, but you got to let it do its work. Righteousness is a God-like character. You know, I took art in high school, and apart from my shop class in middle school, that was my favorite class in my entire educational career. I know that you teachers are just thinking badly of me right now, but I tell you, I didn't have many favorites. I liked shop in middle school, and in high school, I liked art, and I loved typing. Who would have known typing would benefit us so much? But I loved it. But anyway, that's off subject. But anyway, in art class, we learned a variety of art forms. Pottery was one of the components included. Now, I wasn't as drawn to that as much as drawing with charcoal and pastels, but I quickly got interested in taking a lump of unformed clay and watch it become something not only beautiful, but unique and useful. You see, back then, ashtrays were a staple in every home. I made the finest ashtray. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:8. Oh, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you're the potter. We're all formed by your hand. I love that analogy of God being a potter, crafting a masterpiece on the potter's wheel. As a natural potter puts pressure on the lump of clay on the wheel, immediately things begin to change. The harder he presses, the faster that becomes something new. The more precise he presses, the smoother the surface becomes. See, in the early stages of the potter's forming of the clay, it doesn't take a whole lot of detailed shape. But the more time that the clay is on the wheel with the forming of the potter's hand, the more it becomes a masterpiece. An experienced potter knows that that lump of clay, he knows what it's going to be before he starts forming it. He has already got a picture in mind of what this formless lump of clay is going to be. Look at what the Bible says about us, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. God has this picture of what you're going to become. And he wants you to yield to him no matter how much pressure he puts, no matter what tools he uses to form you. He wants you to hold on because he's got something good coming. See, righteousness comes from us yielding to the Lord and his workings. Righteousness comes from us allowing the Lord to mold and craft us. Righteousness comes from us submitting to the Lord as he changes us. Righteousness comes from us realizing that the Lord can use anything we're faced with to mold us into his desired treasure. You see, it takes time for a lump of clay to become the intended masterpiece. But the more pliable the clay, the faster the process of becoming that final product is. Now, I don't know a whole lot about clay, but I do know that there are types of clay that are easier to work with than others. I want to be the kind of clay that is easiest to work with for my God. Don't you? Listen, life will be a lot better for you in this process of becoming the masterpiece that God has created you to be if you're the clay that's easy to mold. I want to be easily molded, easily fashioned into God's intended masterpiece. But if I'm honest, there are days that I push back on the pressure that he's brought or allowed into my life to make me into that masterpiece. I push back on those things that he has sent to use for good in my life. See, most of us know the story of Joseph. I think Joseph is probably one of the best examples of someone letting God form and fashion them. Now, this story begins to unfold in Genesis 37 and it goes all the way to chapter 47. So I'm going to sum it up. Joseph was one of the many sons of Jacob, a favored son, and one that had a huge call of God on his life. God had a plan for David's life to be this wonderful masterpiece. God began to speak to Joseph in his dreams, and he would share those dreams to his family, and they didn't know how to handle it. Now, I'm not saying he always shared them in the right way, but they didn't know how to handle it. Jealousy rose up in the ranks, and his brothers wanted to teach him a lesson for good. So they came up with a plan. The Lord, I want you to hear this. This is Joseph on the potter's wheel. The Lord was with Joseph, forming righteousness in him when his brothers faked his death and threw him in an old well. The Lord was with Joseph and forming righteousness in him when his brothers changed their mind and then pulled him out and sold him to some traveling merchants and took him to Egypt. And then they sold him to Potiphar, the captain of a guard. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when Potter made him his attendant in charge of his household and all that he owned. The Lord was with Joseph, forming righteousness when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of rape after he refuted her advances. The Lord was with Joseph, forming righteousness when he was thrown into the king's prison. The Lord was with Joseph, forming righteousness when the warden gave him responsibility for all the prisoners and all that went on in the prison. The Lord was with Joseph, forming righteousness when he was called upon to interpret the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. The Lord was with Joseph and he was forming righteousness in him when the cupbearer reneged on his promise to remember Joseph to the king. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when he was put in charge of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when his brothers didn't recognize him. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when he forgave his brothers. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness when his brothers and fathers were restored to him. The Lord was with Joseph forming righteousness to the end. When God was forming righteousness in Joseph, it brought him from the pit to the palace. You might say, well, just to the low point, just the high points where he was trying to hone the righteousness in Joseph. No, every single one. In fact, Joseph told his brothers, that which you meant for evil, my God meant for good. Think about all those things that came against Joseph. And we tend to think, well, that's the enemy. We're going to rebuke the enemy. We're going to ignore the enemy. And we're not going to pay attention to that. But all that time, God was forming righteousness in Joseph. And listen, unless something goes against you, you're probably not going to learn anything. If things are so easy that you never have any problems, you're never going to need God. And if you don't need God, you are not going to be adopting his characteristics. You see, the Lord has great plans for Joseph. And it's important to see that at each of these junctures, Joseph was on the potter's wheel, submitting to God in everything he was going through. One would have understood if Joseph had pushed back on the molding and creating and fashioning pressure of the potter's hand at some of those places, wouldn't we? We'd all say, yes, I don't blame you. But without submitting to the Lord's ways, Joseph would have not become who God created him to become. You see, the Lord has a great plan for each of his creations. That's including you, it's including me. And even the ones that you don't think he has a plan for, he does. The Lord has set each of us up for success in him. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, because of Jesus, we have an opportunity to become the righteousness of God. And that Jesus tells us that we are to seek that first before anything else. We've been given the power to live our lives morally right justifiable, virtuous, honest, perfectly just, holy, fair, and godly, all because of Jesus Christ. See, we can't do it on our own, but we don't have to. That's the good news. You don't have to do this on your own. We can't do it anyway. But some days we get up and we've eaten our Wheaties. If you're my age or older, you know what that means. You're feeling that you can take on the whole world, but you can't. See, I think the big key to receiving the amount of righteousness that God has for his people is to submit yourself to the potter's wheel. To say, God, I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll let you form and fashion me after your will. And if that's our desire, then his righteousness becomes part of that forming. At every juncture, David, when things went wrong, it was as if God's hands were getting tighter and tighter, forming and fashioning him. Are you going to respond like the culture? Are you going to act like I'm not here? Are you going to act like I have forsaken you? See, we all have these choices when things go wrong. Joseph had the same choices we do. We can get all hard. We can get anxious. We can get fearful. And then we can just rebuke the devil and not even entertain the idea that God wants to do something in us. He is purifying us by the moving of his hand, just like the potter is. And he's going to make you something much better than a fashionable ashtray. He's going to make you a thing of beauty, one that would represent his glory, one that would be commissioned to go and do what Jesus was doing on this earth. Do you think that he's going to give us all this responsibility without grooming and growing us into be able to handle it? We don't have the capacity to do it without his grooming and the pressure and the tools that he uses and the hatefulness that is all around us. We can allow that to make us hard, or we can allow God to clasp a little harder to form and fashion us into his will. He has promised he'll do that. He has promised he'll do that. He has never promised that you would not have any problems. The world likes to poke fun at, yeah, as soon as you accepted Jesus, your world fell apart, your life fell apart. Well, maybe it did in the natural, but it certainly didn't in the spirit realm. But we are all on this potter's wheel, going round and round. And God is fashioning us. He's positioning things in our life that would cause us to end up being what he created in the very beginning. God knows what you are to be. God knows what I am to be. And it's nothing shabby at all. It is nothing halfway at all. It's a masterpiece that he's creating in us. And I can tell you, if you grab hold of this, you're going to think about tough times in a more positive way. Now, I know that sounds crazy. No one wants tough times. No one does. Joseph walked through some horrific circumstances, and yet he showed the character of God. When he would have been justified to rise up against them. I would have gone to Potiphar and said, listen, I promise you I didn't touch your wife. David didn't even try to defend himself. David was so secure in who had him that he didn't have to clear his name. In fact, he didn't clear his name. God did. There's nothing that Joseph could have done to clear his name. Nothing at all. But Joseph chose to be pliable and to be moldable and to use the pressure that he's in for God to bring forth his righteousness. for Joseph to be able to stand in front of all his brothers after they each wanted his demise. I would have gotten a little mileage out of that, I believe. I would have led him down a rabbit trail. I would have made him squirm a little bit. Listen, God's still working on this lump of clay. But Joseph didn't. He even went away from them and wept. Not out of anger, but out of a broken heart. And then out of the joy that he was seeing when restoration comes. See, Joseph isn't the only one that has rough times. We all do. I don't know what you're going through today. I haven't a clue. Some of you might know a little bit of something, but most of you don't. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how hard life is right now for you. But I want you to think about God using whatever comes into your life to form and fashion you like his will, into his will. And that means that we've got to stop some of our knee-jerk reactions. We've got to stop responding out of flesh. We've got to stop putting our flesh verbally on people. We've got to stop that. Because what the enemy sent for harm in your life, guess who can turn it around? Our God. And he does it by lovingly molding and fashioning us after his will. You maybe you're feeling a little bit of pressure right now. And you want to get out of that pressure. Well, I want to encourage you to look to God. Yes, it'd be great not to have any of the pressure. But I want to encourage you to think about that being used of God. Now, Joseph had to think along those lines to even remain sane in the prison. He had to think on a higher plane. He had to think of what God was doing through all of this. That's the only way your behavior can change in those situations is if you know there's something bigger going on. And God has promised that you never walk alone. God has promised that he'll never leave you or forsake you. God has called us to be bold and strong and not fearful. Do we ever get frightened? Yes, we do. But then that's when we realize, then we call upon the name of the Lord. I have never known God not to come where he's invited. Maybe your life is an absolute mess right now. And maybe you can't even see your way to a clear day. Joseph saw that. He was in the king's prison, which is the deepest place. He couldn't see anything good happening. But yet, he allowed Lord God Almighty to mold and make him and fashion him after his will. And then that began to cause him to make decisions that would be based on God's character and not his. It would cause him to respond differently. How can you go to prison without trying to clear your name if you didn't even get close to doing what you've been accused of doing? One way you can do that is to have your eyes fixed on the one that has our life in his hands. The children's song, "He's got the whole world in his hands," is very, very true. And if he's got the world, he's got us. And he knows the difficulties you're going through today. He knows what you're struggling with. Some of you have never even verbalized what you're struggling with. You just keep it all in. That's not very healthy. Talk to Jesus about what you're struggling with. He'll understand. He knows anyway. But open that dialogue. And then begin to realize that he can use this to fashion you into the masterpiece he knew all along he created you for. Every one of you. He knows what you're going to become if you will adopt his way of doing things. His ways of being right. That's righteousness. The longer we walk with Jesus, We should be getting a little better at it, some better at it. But you know, there are times in our life that we revert back to the old man. When we know clearly that Paul says, listen, leave that life alone. You don't need it anymore. God's got a better life for you. There's a new and living way. Walk ye in it. But we go back just like a dog goes back to the vomit sometimes. You know, we got two dogs, and I swear, I think they like vomit better than dog food. I've never seen anything like it in my life. We see them throw up. We rush to get them away from it so they won't take it in again, but they just do. But we have a nature like that. We glorify something that's putrid. And we hold it in high esteem. And instead of adopting this new life that Jesus came for us to have that will produce us to be that masterpiece, we run to the vomit. And we wonder where God is. When God doesn't want us to run there anymore. Be through with the old life. Now, as long as we're here on this earth, there's going to be an old life pulling at us. But the longer we serve Jesus, that pull should be lighter and lighter. The devil's never going to give up on you. He's going to try to trip you up. He's going to try to make you fail. And good news is, when you fail, redemption is available. It is not all lost. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even Joseph wasn't perfect. I know we've highlighted on a lot of his good decisions, but he wasn't a perfect man. He probably taunted his brothers that he was going to be their boss one day, and he probably flashed around this his robe that nobody else got. You know, he was human. But David, in the pit, began to allow God's character to transform him. So when he came out of the pit, he was a changed man. And he wasn't through with his pit experiences, and neither will we be. But every time we have a success in the things of God, the next is much easier to attain because we saw God move. And God wants to move in your life. He doesn't want you to wallow in whatever yuck you're wallowing in. He wants you to let him form and fashion you after his will. We are the clay. He is the potter. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.